Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari 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 Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Bhana Chadi Jamuna Tira Bhana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kanjabi Hadi Madhava Kanjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kanjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Hari Vidagachara Jasatara Satasi Simadis Divine Grace Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Kid Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Kid Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 30, Canto 8, Chapter 5. Nayasya kascha tititarti mayam. Yayajano mo yati vedanartham tam nirjatatmatma gunam paresham namama bhuteshu samam charantam Nayasya kascha tititarti mayam Yayajano moyati vedanartam Tam nirjitatmatma gunam paresham Namama bhuteshu samam charantam Yayajano moyati vedanartam ladies. Na, not, yasya, of whom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, kascha, anyone, atititarti, is able to overcome, mayam, the illusory energy, yaya, by whom? By the illusory energy. Janaha, people in general. Moyati, become bewildered. Veda, understand. Na, not. Artam, the aim of life. Tam, unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nirjita, being completely controlled. Atma, the living entities. Atma gunam, and his external energy. Para Isham, the Lord, who is transcendentally situated. Namama, we offer our respectful obeisances. Bhuteshu, unto all living beings. Samam, equally situated, or equipoised. Charantam, controlling or ruling them. Translation: no one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy, Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That same Maya, however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed towards all living entities. Let us offer our obeisances unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, certainly controls all living entities, so much so that the living entities have forgotten the aim of life. Na te vidu svarta katim hi vishnum. The living entities have forgotten that the aim of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. That was teaching of Prahlad. Yate vidu svartakatim hi Vishnu. They don't know. Unfortunate. The external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives all conditioned souls what appears to be an opportunity to be happy within this material world. But that is Maya, semicolon. In other words, it is a dream that is never to be fulfilled. Thus, every living being is illusioned by the external energy of the Supreme Lord. That illusory energy is undoubtedly very strong. But she is fully under the control of the transcendental person who is described in this verse as Paresham, the transcendental Lord. The Lord is not part of the material creation, but is beyond the creation. Therefore, not only does he control the conditioned souls through his external energy, but he also controls the external energy itself. Bhagavad Gita clearly says that the strong material energy controls everyone, and that getting out of her control is extremely difficult. That controlling energy belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and works under his control. The living entities, however, being subdued by the material energy, have forgotten the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So several thoughts. I'll try to keep it limited so we can have some discussion time. This is a continuing dialogue, dialogue between Brahma and demigods. He's responding to their urgent plea for help, and the place that he's gesturing to through his words is Vishnu. Because he knows, Brahma knows, Vishnu can do anything. And including relief of your difficult situation. And the difficult situation of life may appear to the demigods that, oh, the demons have got the upper hand. And so we want relief so we can resume our service to Vishnu as controllers of the universe. And he's gesturing through his words to Lord Vishnu, who no one can know. The previous verses were saying, in different ways, his transcendent position. And we discussed beyond the modes of nature, beyond the ability of the eyes to see, the mind to understand through the powers of the mind. Not manifest, not knowable, unless disclosed. So Brahma is disclosing. He's in that position. Now here, he's in the position where he controls the illusory energy, which prevents the living entities from understanding the purpose of life, which is that transcendent Lord that he's gesturing to with his words. So the first line, na yasya kashcha. Kashcha means anyone. There isn't anyone. Na kashcha. There isn't anyone who can overcome atiti tarti mayam. You can't. And Prabhupada in the purport is saying the same thing. Bhagavad Gita says the same thing. You can't overcome the material energy. Daivi yeshu gunamai mama maya doratiya is the verse being alluded to. No one can overcome the material energy. And the nature of that material energy is it covers the transcendent Lord. That's what she does. yaya jano muyati veda nartam artam is the goal of life, and na artam, they don't know the goal of life because of that deluding potency. Yaya jana muyanti, people in general become bewildered by that maya, and they don't know the goal of life. So as stated in the purport, the living entities want to enjoy, so maya creates a situation where they think they can enjoy, although it's but a dream. The enjoyment never happens. It's a trick. The deluding potency deludes living entities into thinking there's happiness out there. I just have to get everything in order so that the happiness can happen. So that's the mode of passion, making plans for happiness. That drives one of the drivers, using the previous metaphor of the wheel of birth and death. But to think that there's enjoyment out there is maya. Yehi sam sparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. The expectation is sukha, but instead one gets dukkha. One wants happiness, and one instead gets the opposite of happiness. It's the nature of the place. It's what maya does. And one cannot become free from it, and so one keeps going like a donkey. Just keeps going after that carrot that's on the end of the stick. And every step you take, it's, or the grass or whatever it is, you just keep going for it. Happiness in a place where there's no happiness. Water in a desert, in a place where there's no water. But it looks like water. But it's a mirage. There's no water in a desert. There's no happiness in the material world. No, there's happiness in the material world. So the real goal of life is covered. Prabhupada quotes this second line as restated by Prahlad, natte vidu svarta katimi vishnu. Sva artha, one's own artha, purpose, goal, the goal of life being Vishnu, people don't know. They don't know because of maya. And the first verse again says no one can overcome maya. It's a prison you can't get out of once you're in prison. Perpetual, not just, life sentence. It's life, unlimited lifetime sentence. That's a cruel prison. Then, but the good news, that same transcendent Lord can release you from prison. As the prison is acting under the direction of him, or under the direction of the material energy, which is under the direction of him, so he's controlling the living entities through the agency of that maya, but that very same maya can release the living entity. On the say-so of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, let us approach the Supreme Lord, is the conclusion. Now, just two other things. I'll try to limit to two other things. This message, the verse and the purport, is a restatement of something that comes very early in the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7. Those series of verses that Jiva Goswami says, the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is in those verses. It's on the basis of that realization of Vyas that the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are written. So it's essence. And the essence says the same thing this verse says, or this verse is restating what the essence says. And that is, Vyas in trance, he saw the transcendent Lord, not with material eyes, but by revelation. He saw the Supreme Lord. He saw the living entities. And he saw Maya, who was under his full control, the Lord's full control. And he saw the living entities in Maya, or struggling hard with that illusory conception of seeking happiness, with great misfortune, because yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. Although paropi, although they are para, just like in Bhagavad Gita's teaching, seventh chapter, the living entity is called para prakriti, transcendental energy. So paropi manyate anartam, they think themselves a product of the three modes of material nature. And thus they struggle. Well, gee, then let us just simply understand we're not a product of the three modes of material nature. We're still struggling. What happened? We have a theoretical understanding, but not a practical application of that theoretical understanding, because we're still in Maya. We're still attached to the notion that we can be the enjoyers of that which we aren't. So we really didn't understand the message for that reason. And so we continue to struggle. And that struggle is in the mind. That's another Bhagavatam teaching. So where the mind goes, like when you're chanting, or when you're worshiping the deity, or when you're doing your devotional service, where the mind goes, is it led by the mode of passion? I'm meant to be the enjoyer? If so, the transcendent Lord will still remain covered. You won't experience, it won't be, as the discussion from yesterday, the Vasudev Sattvam, the consciousness of being freed from the modes of nature won't happen, and therefore the mind is going to be agitated by the modes of nature and go here and go there. It's what we all experience, mode of passion acting on the mind. So what to do? The sound vibration of Krishna's name and the sound vibration of Krishna's instruction, how to control the mind, must be heard and applied. Same as, you know, the demigods, they know, but they've forgotten because they're in this mode of nature situation, and Brahma is reminding them of what they've forgotten. It's exactly what Prabhupada said. One of my favorite quotes of Prabhupada is when he spoke in Tompkins Square Park, the first public Harinam. You know, those of you who saw that nice video, the 50 years of joy and devotion, there's that scene of Prabhupada in Tompkins Square Park, October 1966, following the July 1966 establishing of ISKCON. His message to the public was, I've not come to teach you something new, I've come to remind you of what you've forgotten, which is what Brahma is doing, which is what the Bhagavatam is doing, is what we're doing at this very moment. These truths, they're already locked up, covered, and forgotten by Maya, because we bought into the pitch, you know, the marketing plan that said, yeah, you can enjoy. Just get some of this and some of that and, you know, work hard and get a good education and learn stuff and you can enjoy. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be educated or we shouldn't have an aspiration for happiness. So this is the other point that I wanted to make, and I'll end. During the yesterday afternoon gathering in Palatine, there was one, we discussed 4:10 Bhagavad Gita, the verse that begins, how does it begin? Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha. So, Krishna's, the previous verse is Janma Karma Chime Divyam, that's 4:9. One who understands that in truth, Krishna's transcendental position in his birth and his activities won't take birth again in the material world. No more birth and death. Yay! So then he states a condition for that to happen in verse 10. Vita raga bhaya krodha. So one fellow was stuck. A little bit stuck. He was being a little rhetorical, repetitive about the krodha part, because Prabhupada says the krodha is anger. Krodha means anger. And Prabhupada's statement is that voidist philosophy arises from frustration, which is Buddha's teaching, that desire is the root of misery. Therefore, logically, just get rid of desire. Desirelessness, in an absolute sense, means what? Void philosophy, born of frustration. So this gentleman was asking, well, how do we know? He just kept asking the same question in different ways again and again. How do we know there isn't this void place? And maybe, the teachings that the Buddhists follow, there's a reality over there, truth with a capital T. Maybe. How do we know? For that matter, how do we know that Vaikuntha exists? Because who's gone to Vaikuntha and come back and said, hey, this is what it's like? That was his logic. And since we don't know the Vaikuntha thing, maybe the other thing. He was asking, his quite fundamental issue is, how do we know anything? Probably every one of us have asked that question at some point in time. How do you know anything? Existentialists, I know some people that are existentialists, and we're existentialists out of frustration. Because, you can't really know anything, and therefore it doesn't really matter. Nothing matters. Just exist. Nothing matters. Because nothing is real. Because you don't really know anything. You can't know anything. Just exist. That's a philosophy. Hard to live that philosophy. A French man who was one of the original proponents of existentialism killed himself in a car accident because nothing really matters, whether you exist or you don't exist. It's a philosophy. And voidism is another philosophy. So we know things just like Prabhupada would speak with scientists. And he said later to the devotees, I've not studied these things. I don't have to study these things. I've studied Srimad Bhagavatam. And on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, I can discuss with any scientist about anything and defeat them on the authority of the Bhagavatam. Then, he would apply not just the Bhagavatam says such and such, but understanding, then speak, logic and reason. Your authority is Darwin, or your authority is Marx, or your authority is whoever, and I don't accept that authority, and you don't accept my authority, so let's speak common sense. And he would speak common sense and defeat them. On the authority of the messages of the Bhagavatam. On this authority, I'll just conclude. On this authority, the force of Maya, no one can overcome. That's the statement of Bhagavad Gita. It's the realization of Vyas in his trance meditation Again, it's the statement of Lord Brahma, etc. It's under the authority of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. One who follows Buddhism cannot overcome the force of the material energy. Period. Or exclamation point. Cannot. Unless Krishna withdraws that force of the material energy, because it's under his direction. Now, why is the material energy there to begin with, and why might the material energy be withdrawn? Well, the material energy is there to begin with because the rebellious spirit of the living entity wanted to enjoy independently of Krishna. So the illusory energy is there so they can think they can enjoy independently of Krishna. Why is a mirage there? People think that there's water in the desert. People think there's happiness in the material world. Supposing I become filled with frustration, vita raga bhaya krodha, supposing arising from krodha or anger or frustration, my hopes to enjoy didn't happen again and again and again, and I got this realization. Can't get no satisfaction, right? Where's Jitendra? So, oh, there he is. So, it's not there. There's songs that say it. There's songs that say it's there. And there's songs that say it's not there. And then sing in the blues. You know, there's life is filled with people that have the expectation as well as the realization. Now, is Maya going to go away simply because you have the realization there's no happiness? No. You get another feature of Maya that says you can find happiness by continuing to ignore Krishna, continuing to ignore the soul, and just make it zero. On the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, is such a reality with a capital R existing? We just, you know, we can go there and merge with the void, come to the stage of nirvana. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, does such a thing exist? Is that a reality with a capital R? On the authority of the Bhagavatam, the answer is with the big capital letters, no. Well, then what is it? Well, it's a state of mind that by the arrangements of Maya, one can think one has gotten relief from the battering force of the material energy by getting a dagger and taking desire and just stabbing it to death. And then another one appears and you stab it to death and just keep assiduously going on, killing desire, and then you become desireless. It's a state of mind. And through a state of mind, can you realize transcendence? No. By the mercy of Krishna, one can realize transcendence. Yes. So, you know, what's the absolute truth? We just, you know, go right, just take 10 giant steps back and ask the question that Vedanta asks, that the Bhagavatam answers. Vedanta also answers. What's that from which everything comes? What is the basis upon which everything rests? Is it void? Is it meaninglessness? Is it Brahman? Is it a supreme person? Is it nobody knows? What is it? And the inquisitive person, just like the question, you know, how do we read the Bhagavatam? Just want to know. I know that there's a higher reality than stuff. I just have that faith and conviction deep inside me. So I'm doing my duties and living my life and eating and working. But the inquisitive spirit has to be operating for one to become a devotee and to progress in devotion. And the Bhagavatam's message responds to that question. I had this very interesting dialogue in China with one man, very thoughtful, a little bit of a gyani, but, you know, very thoughtful. And he said, I grew up as a Buddhist, and I didn't find people that were actually following what Buddha taught, although I wasn't really sure what Buddha taught because they weren't really sure what Buddha taught either. So I started reading the Bible, and I rejected the Bible because it denied the idea of reincarnation. I have that conviction that reincarnation exists. So then I started reading Buddhist literature. And, you know, I found that interesting, that I forget exactly what he said. He wasn't so satisfied with Buddhist literature. Just, he wasn't feeling a sense of contentment. And then somehow, he got his hands on a Bhagavad Gita, and it all made sense. It clicked. So now he wanted to know how to go further in realization of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And he understands the necessity of having a teacher in disciplic succession, because that's what Bhagavad Gita says. He, you know, he's very clear. And so how, what's the next step? What's the next step? So he waded through that, as a number of us have also done, through the so many options that are out there in the so-called spiritual marketplace that just, samohito, jiva, or muyanti, as the verse says. Bewildering. This age is very treacherous. It's filled with bewildering features of Maya. And it's harsh. It may look nice to begin with, and you go down the path a bit, and it's certainly in terms of the real interest of the self, sva artha, the real interest of the self, it gets buried in that spiritual marketplace, unfortunately. What to speak of the non-spiritual marketplace? Hearing concluding message from Lord Brahma. Hearing of the transcendent supreme person who has a spiritual body made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss, who is a loving person who is perfectly ready to remove the covering of Maya if we're ready to take shelter of him. There may be some tests along the way. Do we really want to take shelter of him? But that's okay. If we really want to take shelter of him, by his influence, Maya can be withdrawn. That was the first part of Vyasa's trance. He saw Maya under the Lord's control. He also saw Maya bewildering living entities who weren't in the position as Vyasa was of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So there's options for us. And if we really want to know that which we have deep inside of us, a real somewhere in the core of our being conviction, there is this higher reality, then Krishna is very kind. He'll at least give us the opportunity. He'll knock on your door and say, please let me in. And we can say, you know, nobody's home. Or let me think about it. Or, you know, we can respond in different ways. But if one really wants, if that spark of wanting to know becomes connected with that vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna will emerge. Krishna arises, a realization of Krishna arises. The Supreme Person awakens, consciousness of Krishna awakens. This is what I'm going to be speaking about next week on the Sunday program. Purpose number two of ISKCON. Propagating a consciousness of Krishna as found in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, we're doing what Prabhupada wanted just by attending the Bhagavatam class regularly. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. I mean, don't just be passive. course, just come and attend, and that's good too. But actively hear the message of Bhagavatam, something happens. It's magical. It's quite mystical. Very powerful sound vibration. Like in our Prema Dhwani prayers, all glories to the assembled devotees. Because they're taking that opportunity to hear this message of kirtan and Bhagavatam and messages of Krishna Katha. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, sorry for being late. I'm trying to understand the definition of a transcendentalist.
Is this the same question?
No, it's different, although it sounds like I'm the same thing, but this is different.
Okay.
Just for what you were saying today, and I'm just thinking that the transcendentalist is supposed, we're supposed to understand that it transcends the modes of nature.
Yeah.
And
or at least that the truth is beyond the modes of nature.
Okay.
It's but, not a product of the modes of nature.
Okay. So if a transit, so from the explanation of Srila Vyasadeva's vision, you have to take shelter of Krishna.
Yes.
And transcendentalist not necessarily takes full shelter of Krishna.
Then you take shelter of an aspect of Krishna, the Brahman feature, or the Paramatma feature.
Okay.
Because that's an aspect of Krishna.
Okay. But then it says, Patanti Adonadri Tajusman Angaryaha. That's Lord Rama referring also to all of those who are not devotees.
Yeah.
So they're considered devotees.
There's one shelter, Krishna. There's aspects of Krishna, but when they're incomplete. So Krishna is kind. He'll give the incomplete realized person the opportunity for complete realization, and they can say yes or no. I mean, that was one of the questions that you were asking the other type.
Mm.
Commonly, if one is factually Brahman realized, when there's an opportunity to hear the message of Krishna, one will take shelter of Krishna.
Mm.
But then one may not. Then it's more likely a partial realization or philosophized, not complete realization of Brahman or Paramatma. To find someone who is genuine is rare. To find someone who is a pretender is common.
There's some pretenders that looks very, very good.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, in general, you consider them sort of, you give them the respect of a transcendentalist, but...
I have two anecdotal things that I'll circle back and make mention of if there's time. Jitendra, you want to add something to this? You're just scratching your head. Of course, okay.
I just remember a very concise saying that it goes, they call it the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I remember...
Sounds like Bob Dylan.
I remember Vaisheshika saying he met Mick Jagger at the airport, and he said, Mick, are you getting any satisfaction lately? And he said, don't bore me, and walked away. So that was just something that came to mind.
Okay. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.
The second line of the verse, where it says, muhyati vedanartham. Isn't it true that the mukhya, the bewilderment, is different for different people?
Oh yeah,
it's a whole garden variety of bewilderment.
Oh yeah,
and as I'm thinking about it, even I'm trying to be careful. Even within the, I guess, the, even while practicing devotional service, still there can be quite a bit of bewilderment.
Oh yeah.
And one may think, I am actually progressing towards Krishna, when it may not be the case at all.
As you're saying it, I'm thinking of a particular person who's quite bewildered in thinking he's progressing. And pointing out to the person, there's symptoms that show you're not. Oh. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I think the question is that due to this krodha, we have this sense of urgency to surrender. Or I feel, for me personally, there's an urgency to surrender.
Coming from krodha?
Coming from distress, or I don't know where it exactly is. I guess it's this desire to surrender. There's an urgency there.
That's good. But it depends on where it's coming from, whether it's going to sustain or when the misery is gone or the anger is gone and then the submission is gone. So it's important where it's coming from. And in the beginning, it's likely coming from a mix of this and that, something genuine and something, you know, frustration. So try to nourish the genuine and, you know, don't give so much importance to the frustration part. It may be there, but don't give so much importance to it. That's called gardening.
What's that?
This is called gardening. Gardening in the heart. You pull the weeds and you give, continue to give water to the creeper of bhakti. And pull more weeds and give the water to the creeper of bhakti. And pull more weeds. And so it's, you make a distinction between the, you know, the where the desire to take shelter is arising from. Because otherwise, you know, it's going to be the sine curve. Ooh. And you think something's wrong with the process. It's not something wrong with the process. It's how we're attending to the process. Nothing wrong with gardening. But there's seeds for weeds in the soil. So when you water, the weeds grow, and they grow faster. It's one of the rules of gardening. Weeds grow faster. They don't last longer. They're not more valuable, but they grow faster. In the bhakti process, if we're not vigilant, that's what happens.
Oh, just be vigilant.
Don't get, you know, stop submission and surrender. Just be aware, be observant, introspective. Where is this coming from? You pull the weed if it's a weed. You give attention to the creeper. It's nice. Gardening is nice. Yes, we have another question. Enthusiastic questioner. I thought you're the questioner. You have a question? Go ahead. You don't have one? Okay. Someone else? Any over on this side? Hey, monkey, something? Really? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, just now you mentioned that the weeds grow...
I mentioned what? Speak slowly and clearly?
Yeah.
Consider me to be an old man and just be kind.
Sorry, Maharaj. Just now you mentioned that weeds grow faster.
Weeds grow faster.
But they don't stay longer.
They don't stay longer.
So is it that just like, you know, while practicing it will go automatically, or we have to...
Speak slowly.
So is it that this weeds, anarthas, just when we continue practicing, they automatically go away?
No. What happens is weeds produce seeds that grow more weeds.
So in which sense you mentioned that they don't stay longer?
They come and they go. That bhakti, how long have you been practicing devotional service?
Oh, 16 years.
16 years. So your bhakti creeper is saying, have you had any desires other than pure devotional service to Krishna in the course of those 16 years?
Many.
Many. And some are kind of, hanging around because seeds grow from those desires. But many of them, they're just insignificant, inconsequential, gone. That's what I mean. But there's ones that are our favorites. And we hold on to them. And we give attention to them.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.